In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Can you hear me? Yeah, am I on? Good. So I've just got something to share today. But for those who don't know, I'm currently doing a master's in Preston. So I regularly drive to and from Preston, which takes me about an hour and a half each way. And as I drive, I listen to the radio. And Saskia never disappoints, because every day at 3:20 p.m., she plays a little game called Hoax or History. Now, I can't say I've ever considered myself a historian, but for some reason, I've become quite invested in the game, so I thought we could have a little go now. So I'm going to read some phrases out, and if you think it's historically accurate and actually happened, just give me a thumbs up. And if you think it's a hoax and it's made up, it didn't happen, then put your thumbs down. Okay, so first one. In 1973, a man single-handedly planted a forest to fulfill a promise to his late wife. Thumbs up, thumbs down. So, I can confirm it is history. So, well done if you got your thumbs up. And so, a man in India covered 1,300 acres in trees and planted 50,000 trees. Slipped off. There we go. So, next one. Most car horns are in the key of F. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Most car horns in the key of F. Okay, a bit of a mix. It is, in fact, history. It wasn't always in the key of F, but in the 60s and 70s, it was around a C sharp. But the manufacturers decided to raise the pitch of the car horns to a higher key, so they could hear the car horns through closed windows, which sort of makes sense, pretty smart. And so is the next one, hoax or history? The Great Jellyfish Jamboree was an event in eastern Florida where residents attempted to break the world record for the largest jelly, or jam, if you're in the UK, sandwich ever made. Thumbs up or thumbs down? It is, in fact, a hoax that's made up, sadly, yeah. Right, so last one. There was a campaign called Ring a Random Swede, where you could ring up a random Swedish person to ask them any questions you had about Sweden. Thumbs up or thumbs down? I can confirm that it is, in fact, history. You could ring a number and ask a question, and apparently it was done live on BBC. So, okay. Now that's the end of our little game, but it did make me think about the word history. One definition of history is the study of change over time. It covers all aspects of human society, political, social, economic, scientific, technological, medical, cultural, intellectual, religious, and military developments are all a part of history. And history is really important as it informs us of how society has changed over time and what it is today. However, an important question is whether the history is true or false. And today I want you to consider, is the Christmas story that we've just seen retold true? According to the Bible, God's existence is essential and foundational, and yet it is full of stories of all sorts of people who don't actually believe in him. The Bible never presents an argument for the existence of God, because to the writers, well, it's obvious. However, many people believe that for something to be true, it must be scientifically provable. But the fact is, we believe things because they make sense of our world around us. We all have to try and provide some sort of explanation for the beauty of nature, how the world came to be, the occurrence of miracles, evil, and finding a sense of purpose. But often explanations that don't include a God just don't add up, and sometimes they don't make sense, and often create more questions. So perhaps the real question is, could a belief in God make sense of the world around you? Now, even if 0.1% of you thinks that maybe God could be the answer, don't you think that might be worth exploring? Now, I'm not going to try and prove God's existence today because, well, that's above my pay grade. But you can, however, go and grill our newest elder Matt, if you want that. But I simply want to make you consider, could this story about Jesus be true? So as we've just heard, another bit of part of our passage was John 1. So this is verse 3 and 5. It says, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." In Bible times, the Jews were all waiting for a Messiah, a coming king, but he was not the national ruler or the military leader that many people were looking for. But rather, he was humble and very ordinary. He was born as an infant in a stable, surrounded by animals. There was no palace, but a smelly old shed. He brought light amongst the darkness, hope amongst the hopeless, fulfilling over 300 prophecies. There is no doubt about it, he was an unlikely hero. Yet he was someone who knew what it was like to live on earth full of pain and suffering. Jesus' birth is where it all begins. Like us, he went through life facing temptation, misunderstanding, bereavement, and rejection. He was mocked, humiliated, tortured, and crucified by the highest and lowest of earthly authorities, even his friends. Jesus became physically unrecognizable as the Messiah because of the pain that he went through on that cross as he died. If Jesus was the Son of God, could he not have avoided this pain and death? Could he not have performed a miracle to avoid the suffering? The simple answer is, yeah. Yet he chose to take away our sins and take the consequences upon himself. Any bad thing that we have done was put onto him, onto that cross. With nails through his hands and his feet, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he breathed his last. But thankfully, that is not the end of the story, which is good news for us. Jesus was dead in the tomb, but on the third day, he rose again so that we could have eternal life. Sin and death were conquered once and for all. And through Jesus' death, he separated himself from God to take away our sins. John 1, verse 12 says, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." So if this story about Jesus is true, what does it actually mean for us today? If Jesus truly is the Son of God and our rescuer, we need to respond to him and we need to accept him. Christianity is not an old history book based on a bunch of rules, but ultimately it is about having a relationship with your Heavenly Father. I remember as a little girl sitting on the stairs, eagerly waiting for my dad to get home from work, longing to hear the car door slam and the jingle of the keys into the front door. Because I loved him and I was desperate to see him, even though I'd only seen him like less than 12 hours ago. He finally would walk through the front door and a massive smile would appear on his face as he realized who I was waiting for. He was just as eager to see me as I was him. That's the sort of relationship that I'm talking about, but far, far greater than that little story can ever explain. Jesus did not stay in the grave. He is alive today, and he wants a relationship with you. Through following him, you can find an unexplainable hope and joy in every single circumstance, knowing that he is right next to you. Christmas reminds us of the most powerful symbol of love, coming into the world in the form of an infant, that one day would die for you and me. The love of God is a love of power, passion, and sacrifice that is perfect. This is what true love is. I just want to encourage you to ask yourself this today. Is this story true? Is Jesus the risen King? And even if a small part of you thinks the answer could be yes, but you still aren't sure, then please just come and talk to us before you go, because we would love to talk to you. Perhaps you are ready to accept Jesus, and it is as easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you have done wrong things and have sinned. B, believe that Jesus died and rose again to forgive you of sin. And C, come and follow him. And again, if you have any questions, then please do come and speak to us, because we'd love to talk to you. I just want to leave you with these final words from John 1, verse 14, 16, and 17. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And as we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, from his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after the other. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Let's just pray as we finish. Lord God, thank you so much for sending Jesus, who would change the course of history forever. Through his miraculous birth, he brought light into darkness and everlasting hope. I pray we will consider his birth, life, death, and resurrection in a new and deeper way over this Christmas season, and deepening a relationship with him. Amen.